Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into this episode of Wear and Tear Bears Post Game Show. I almost said the wrong thing because this is the first episode of this I have done. I am joined by Aaron Lemming. Aaron, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, man. We are here at week one. The Bears actually won a game that they probably shouldn't have won. I don't know that things could get much better outside of, you know, Caleb Williams having a little bit better of a game.
And we'll just dive right into it. You know, the Bears did win, as Aaron said, 24-17. It's tough, right? Because I think for the most part, I don't know how you felt, but I was standing there watching that game being like, I just expected more. I wanted more. The defense did step up, special teams step up, and we just didn't really see too much, really no flow whatsoever from the offense in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely disappointing. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really like paying attention to personnel towards the end of the game. Maybe you were. Did Keenan Allen come back in, or was he out for the final
five? I didn't see him come back in.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's if they would have lost the game, I think we'd be talking about a situation where you compare, and I wrote this earlier in the week talking about, you know, the last two quarterbacks that are drafted in the first round for the Bears and their NFL debuts and how bad they were. And if you look on the surface at the numbers, Caleb Williams is right in between Justin Fields and Mitchell Trubisky. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be that level of quarterback. But again, with the amount of money that they spent on the offense and the amount of hype coming into this season and Caleb Williams being the number one overall pick, yeah, I think you expected a lot more offensively considering they didn't have a touchdown the entire game.
Yeah, so in this section, this diagnostic study, as I'm calling it, this is where we're just going to kind of generally talk about the game. And as Aaron just said, you know, it's a weird place to be at because I think Mitch threw for about 124 yards, something like that. I mean, Justin was in the 60s. Everyone remembers the Cleveland debacle of 9 sacks. But, you know, Caleb Williams, 14 for 29, 93 yards, passer rating at 55.7. I mean, I know I was like positive enough where I ended up putting a parlay down of 2+ touchdowns for Caleb. So having zero, definitely an issue. And to put into some context, like you were even saying too, you know, CJ Stroud in his first game, 5.5 yards per attempt, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He took 5 sacks and the offense scored 9 points in his debut. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel. This week does not necessarily mean that's what it's always going to be going forward. But, you know, we'll dive into this between Caleb, between Shane Waldron, between the offensive line, where we thought some of those issues were, and the defense early on. I mean, the defense let up, I think it was like 60-something yards in the first half, and they averaged about, I believe it was, they led the league in yards allowed at 83-ish, I believe, last year. So, I mean, that was an issue as well.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was weird because it felt like if this would have been a game, let's just say like a month, month and a half down the line, I think you're talking about a team in the Bears that would have been able to take advantage of those, the having good field position off those first two drives. And they didn't. And you could kind of feel it. I mean, we've seen this with the Bears quite a bit over what, the last decade, where you're looking at a team that has every opportunity in the world to score points, get touchdowns, play off of short fields, and they can't get it done. And then, you know, it goes from where you feel like the Bears should be winning the game to you get to the end of the half and you're like, how are they not down by more? I think that was a very similar feeling today. And I'll be honest, I mean, you know, throughout the game, I was, you know, especially on Twitter, very critical of Matt Eberflus. Once again, I felt like they didn't come out prepared. Luckily, they got things figured out, but it's, I think you, even with a rookie quarterback, obviously there's going to be ups and downs, but I think you expect more considering the amount of talent that's on that side of the ball. And then Shane Waldron coming over from Seattle. It's just there. It was disappointing, but here's what I will say, for as disappointing as it all is, and I don't know how you feel, but this is not a game that the Bears would have won over the first 2 years of Matt Eberflus. So at least they've got that going for them. They're 1-0. They got a really tough game next week, but at least they got the win. This is not a game that they would have won much over the last, I'd say, probably, what, 6-7 years?
No, I mean, I 100% agree with that. I mean, I don't care where it's coming from, whether you're talking about the offensive side or defense side of the ball. I mean, they, over the last couple of years, found ways to lose games they should win. They found ways to lose games that were close. You know, you definitely hoped this year that you'd see Caleb win you that game, but we have to keep in perspective. Game one, week one, you know, you could tell he came out with some jitters. I mean, he airballed a couple times and his receivers let him down. I mean, would this be a different context even if Keenan Allen had caught that one that was, you know, in the front of the end zone there?
Yeah, I probably would have at least looked a little bit better. It wouldn't have got him over 100 yards, but at least he would have had that first touchdown. So, yeah, again, I mean, it just, I think as a whole, like you pointed out, the defense had some letdowns early in the game, but ultimately, you know, special teams and defense is what won it for him. I think you're kind of looking at this team with the amount of expectations that they have on this year, and maybe not Super Bowl. I think that's way too premature. But at the same time, again, they've got a more complete team. So you're not having to rely on just one side of the ball to completely win you the game. And I think we kind of saw some of that today. So it's, you know, week one's always weird. We're
seeing it across the league already, right? Bengals lost the Patriots. The Saints shellacked the Panthers. I mean, the Vikings trouncing the Giants. And the Steelers beat the Falcons.
Yeah. And Justin Fields had a pretty solid game. I mean, he ended up, I think it was like 15 for 23 for 150-something yards, I want to say.
Yeah, 156 yards.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for him, man. I hope he wins that job. I don't, you know, I know we're getting kind of off track, but like, I don't see any upside for Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson. I think he might as well just roll Fields. But, you know, it really what it comes down to is I think this would have been a very different conversation if we're sitting here, had the Bears lost, if they don't get the, you know, the pick six and then the blocked punt and all that stuff. I think we're having a much different conversation. But again, this is a much bit different team than we've seen over the last few years. So I think it's one of those, like you pointed out with CJ Stroud, you got to take the good with the bad, and you just have to hope that, let's just say 4 to 6 weeks into the season, we're having a much different conversation and things are starting to click. Because if they even had an average offense today, this isn't a game.
Let's really quickly like dive into each section. So we'll start with the offense. The Bears allowed Pollard about 60-ish yards in the first half, but they did buckle down in allowing only 82 on 16 attempts. That still was best for about eighth best so far in the early stages of week one here. I mean, and they were one of the best, as I mentioned earlier, one of the best rushing defenses previously. What do you think about that? And then taking that even a step further too, of allowing Will Levis, who he only threw for 127 yards, but in that first half, I mean, he was the better quarterback, quote unquote, than Caleb was.
Yeah, I think with the run defense, and this is kind of one of those, like on both sides, right? It's kind of a tale of two halves for the Bears, obviously not offensively, but, you know, for the Bears as a whole, and then obviously with their defense in the first half, it's like they had those two smothering drives, then Tennessee kind of got things going. And again, I mean, if you're looking at this from a balance perspective, I mean, are we having the same conversation about the defense in the first half with the run game and everything else? If the offense even puts 9 points on the board, let's just say they get 3 field goals. I mean, is it a different feeling? Because, I mean, they were on the field a lot in that second quarter. And I think we kind of saw it. And, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to see how the defense progresses. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to see more from guys like Jerron Dexter. You want to see more Frankly, for Montez Sweat, as far as a pass rusher goes, he had a few nice plays today. I think really if there was one thing that kind of concerned me defensively, and it was, again, it was kind of in that bad patch, would have been just the overall missed tackles that were going on. It's like that's the kind of stuff where you expect Matt Eberflus's defense to not have that happen.
Well, I think Tumultuous Titan also had a valid point here, too. Titans offense changed completely after their right guard went down and Bears started getting pressure. That's absolutely true. You cannot depend on a starting offensive lineman to go down to get your defense going. And as you said, Aaron, there were a lot of missed tackles. I believe it was in the first quarter, there was a play where both TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds both had their hands on the running back, slipped through. That was a big gain. You saw a couple of just very odd. This defense is kind of built to let you pass downfield. We've seen that statistically from this cover two shell that they allow the underneath stuff and rally. But there was a bit too much. There wasn't enough rallying at times. And when they did, there was missed tackles, like you talked about. And that was without, I mean, you had DeAndre Hopkins. He had one target for one reception for 8 yards. He was on a snap count. You had Calvin Ridley, who ultimately only had 3 receptions on 50 yards. I mean, he led in targets with 7. So, you know, and the longest pass was only about 22 yards. And that's pretty much the longest play of this game. The defense did well, but at the same time, the Titans offense was not exactly a juggernaut.
No, it wasn't. And I'm curious from your perspective here, because going into this game, you're talking about two offensive lines last year that were basically the two worst offensive lines in the league when it came to pass protection. And we've seen kind of what the Bears have done. It's been kind of more of a mix and match type of situation, you know, in terms of piecing together this offensive line. Darnell Wright's their highest investment on the offensive line. And then you look over at the other side with Tennessee, where they took J.C. Latham at 7 this year. They took Peter Skoronski in the first half of last year's draft. Like, they spent money on, and now I'm going to draw a blank on his name, the center. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? The center that like all Bears. There we go. Yeah, Lloyd Cushenberry. And I mean, again, obviously Tennessee's probably got some more talent on the defensive line, but what were your reactions just from a one-to-one game comparison between the two offensive lines and their two different approaches, considering how similar they were last year?
It is interesting because, like you said earlier, it's a tale of two halves, because the first half, the Titans offensive line definitely outperformed, and at least they can move. They ran the ball off that left side, the stronger Skoronski Latham side, and were able to get big chunk gains for a while there. But you did start to see some issues when their right guard went down. And also, Petit Frere just isn't a very good tackle. It just is what it is. But one thing I will say is that what you saw was consistency at the center position, and that helps the interior too. So I think that goes to show that spending that extra money on a Lloyd Cushenberry was a good call. And, you know, we can actually merge that flipping over to more of the offensive talk for the Bears. You didn't see that out of Coleman Shelton. You know, whether it was that one screen pass to be where the question is, well, was it Shelton or was it even Davis who was not in the right spot that allowed a 19-yard sack ultimately for that team? There was another play where their new linebacker, who I'm also drawing a blank on right here, but number 53, he just absolutely blew up Coleman Shelton, and that led to Caleb getting hit in a duck of a throw that could have been easily picked off if anyone was in the zip code. So, you know, that center and interior offensive line is a problem right now. I'm a big Tevin Jenkins guy, but he didn't have a great game. Now, you're not always going to play Tavondre Sweat, who is a just man of a man. and Coleman Shelton's just not big enough. He's too small. You're not always going to play a Tavondre Sweat that's big. You're not always going to play someone that's as good as a Simmons is also in the interior. But that is a problem that the Bears are going to have to work on.
Well, my biggest thing moving forward is what do you do? I mean, do you just chalk this up as a bad game for Shelton and say, hey, he's played at least to a relatively league average level? Oops, sorry, I got flies flying all over me and just knocked my glasses off trying to slap one out of my face. But again, I mean, it wasn't just Shelton. Like, right. And I don't know if it was a health thing or what, but Nate Davis was taken off the field multiple times. You know, so it's like, that was my biggest concern moving into this season, and my biggest critique with the offseason is you look at what they did on the offensive line and it's like, is it enough? I don't think it is. I mean, it's like, obviously with the Braxton Jones situation, I think he has every right to start at left tackle this year. I think he's kind of in that Charles Leno Jr. thing where he's not remotely close to your biggest issue. You probably don't want to pay him a lot, but at the same time, he still brings a lot of value, especially as a fifth round pick. But again, you look at that interior, and this goes back to the whole Tevin Jenkins thing where it's like, between availability or lack thereof, and then the fact that he just has those games where you're looking at him and like, dude, you have elite ability. Like, you can play at an elite level, and then you're not even facing, like, it's a good offense or defensive line for Tennessee. It's not elite by any means. They're going to face a lot better defensive lines as the year goes on. And like you said, he didn't look good at all. So that's the biggest concern, especially for me with a rookie quarterback. And this is the same for, you know, most rookie quarterbacks. Pressure up the middle is going to be a lot more damaging than pressure off the edges. And I feel like for the most part, they should be fine at tackle. But again, if Tevin Jenkins has an off day, are you going to be able to rely on the other two guys on the interior to do their jobs? And frankly, I would say through one game, I think that's a pretty firm no.
Yeah, because I don't even know where you pivot necessarily. Do you go back to maybe what the original plan was Ryan Bates at center? And then if that's the case, who is your guard? You're keeping Nate Davis there. If not, you know, there's a reason Bill Murray's been on practice squads, like the Patriots practice squad and all that previously. So I don't know that you can just shove him into your start as a starter now as a guard. They have Matt Pryor, who he's got flexibility, guard, tackle. But like, again, there's a reason why he was available at the price tag that he was available at. Mm-hmm. So you just don't have a lot of pivot points here, and you don't want to mess with too much stuff either. I mean, one of the things that they talked about all offseason was deciding a center because Coleman Shelton's a lefty. You don't want to switch that to a right-handed center. Now all of a sudden Caleb Williams has to get the snap differently. So we're not trying to say, like, you know, hey, the sky is falling here. But at the same time, as Aaron just said, man, pressure up the middle is a problem. I mean, you can adjust off the edges, but if you can't step up in the pocket and you get flushed consistently, that is not going to help Caleb's development. And we talked about that earlier. Caleb had a rough game. I can't really think about too many passes where I was wowed or astounded, but there are definitely a couple where I was like, man, you really should hit that.
Yeah. No, I think in terms of Caleb Williams, I think, you know, objectively speaking, he was bad. Like, there's just no other way around it. But he's a rookie quarterback, and it's like, and it'll be interesting, you know, as, you know, once we jump off this and watch the rest of football today, I'll probably have the Jaden Daniels game on just to kind of see, you know, because again, I mean, you look at a team like Washington as a prime example, they also have a really bad offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of scheme around that and see how that goes. But again, I mean, and obviously we didn't get a chance to talk about it on here or whatever, but like, Tennessee's defense is no joke. Like, they're probably going to be within the top 10, top 15 of the league. They've got some really good corners. This was not an easy matchup. I know a lot of people wanted to believe it was. This was not an easy matchup for the Bears of week one, right? The Bears are a better team, or should be a better team, but this is still not, you're not going against the Carolina Panthers in week one. Like, that would have been ideal. I think that this situation would have been much different, but, you know, here we are. So, yeah, I think, you know, the big thing is he finally got that experience. Maybe there's a little bit less pressure going on the road next week to Houston. Obviously, the only downside to that is it's going to be on Sunday Night Football. But I tell you right now, the Bears aren't going to be able to win a game against the Texans like they did against Tennessee. Like, they're going to have to come out. They're going to have to score points, because if they do what they did today, they're going to get blown out, and there's going to be a lot of interesting headlines the next day.
And we're going to do a quick hitter on special teams before we dive into some of our categories. Where do you start with special teams? Because you get to do the positive, you know, in terms of the block punt and how great that was. You could also go to the negative in terms of Velus Jones bobbling that kick return and then somehow kicking it 20 yards forward to the opposition. So, I mean, really, it could go either way.
You know what? I'm going to choose to give it to the good side of things, right? I think Torrey Taylor looked good. I think, you know, Cairo Santos was money from the two kicks that he had. You know, anytime you get a block punt for a touchdown, like, if you look at it, like, the muff punt accounted for 3 points against the Bears, and then, you know, obviously the block field goal, or the block punt ended up getting him 7. So I think overall, man, I mean, even the coverage was really good. DeAndre Carter had a few outstanding returns, both as a kick and punt returner. I think, if anything, really what this proves is, you know, if you want to keep Velus Jones Jr. on the roster, great. He's done on special teams. You want to make him a gunner, that's great. He's not a returner in any way, shape, or form. He's not reliable. This is a year. This isn't like the last few years. Like, this is a year where you cannot afford those kind of mistakes. Carter is experienced enough. You've got Khalil Herbert. Like, whatever the case may be, if you want to use him at running back a little bit, use him as a gunner, that's great. But I think that the overall experiment of Velus Jones Jr. as a returner, both punt and kick, needs to be done and over with. And I think as long as they learn that lesson, I think that this is, you know, an overall positive.
Yeah, I don't have the exact number. I want to say it was something like, was it, he said like a 3 or 4 total special teams fumbles, which when you just look at the pure number, doesn't sound like a lot. But when, but special teams is such a swinging phase of the game that even if it's only 3, quote unquote, or only 4, that matters. And we, yes, today it was only 3 points, but, you know, if that had been a touchdown, we're talking about a very different game. So I'm with you. It's tough. You know, I've definitely been a Velus supporter in a way of like, I think what he gives you on offense, we saw that a little bit with some of the carries he had, is very tantalizing. We saw that on Hard Knocks, right? They talk that Poles was, I don't want to say salivating, but like he was very optimistic about what he could provide on offense. But if that's what you have to be able to not be a detriment to your team as well. And unfortunately today, that's what he was on special teams. So some of our categories. First one, so as we thought and not. This is just something that we thought was going to happen in this game, one that we did not think was going to happen in this game, something we were basically surprised by, not surprised by. For me, as I thought, we already talked about the interior pressure was a problem. They talked about that one play in particular where DeAndre Cobham blew up Coleman Shelton, and then Caleb was finished off by Joseph for a huge loss of 19 yards. That's just one example. This happened all game long. Something I was surprised by was the creativity and complexity of the Titans play calling. For example, on 4th and 3, they called the wide receiver screen to Taj Boyd with Latham as a blocker. That's the way you run a screen, not the way that the Bears decided to do it, where they have DeAndre Carter blocking for DJ Moore, and he gets blown up in the backfield.
Yeah, see, I think mine are going to be a little bit more boring than yours. I think the one that I thought was going to happen was, again, the offensive line. That's been my biggest concern this entire point. I mean, really, even if you want to take it a step further and say the trenches, because I think even the defensive line at times had some issues. Andrew Billings was awesome. Daryl Taylor was awesome for what he is as a pass rusher. He still over-pursues a lot, but hey, that's what you get for a 6th-round pick. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, I think looking, projecting forward, assuming the offense actually scores points over the next 16 games, which I would assume that they will, I think the trenches are going to be the big thing that separates them from being, you know, a playoff contender versus a Super Bowl contender. I think that's kind of the big line when you start looking at some of these teams. The thing that did surprise me, I would say, would probably be the special teams overall. I think the way that the special teams played and how big of an impact it had on the game is something that we haven't really seen a lot since the days of Lovie Smith. I mean, like I said, I mean, they had the block punt for a touchdown. DeAndre Carter set them up in great field position multiple times with some great returns. Torrey Taylor looked as advertised. Cairo Santos, again, I mean, it's still relatively warm outside, so he's going to be able to, you know, sink things from 48 to 52 or whatever the case may be. But I think just the overall impact that they end up having on this game was probably the most surprising portion, considering the special teams outscored the offense, which is kind of sad, but here we are.
Shades of Chicago versus Arizona. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good day. This is something positive from the game, which there wasn't a ton of, but I'm just basically going to go with the Bears' ability to turn the ball over. I had the bold prediction that the starting outside corners would both get interceptions, and they did, even if one of them was on a last-second heave over there for Jalen Johnson. But just to be even build off that, Taylor off the edge, I mean, he might be the third best defensive lineman that the Bears currently have behind Sweat and Billings, and they got him, you know, just the end of the summer here. So I don't know really necessarily how good he's going to be guarding, defending the run. He had a couple interesting stops and a couple where he was nowhere near it, but I mean, at least rushing the passer, thank God they got him.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think when you look at it, I think that this game kind of shows that the Bears are a much more complete team than they have been over the last few years. It used to be one or two bad things went wrong. One of the phases was playing poorly, and that sunk the entire ship of the game. And that has not been the case through the one game this year. And I think that is an absolute positive. Again, some people are going to look at this and say, we've seen the offense be terrible and the Bears win games. But again, it wasn't just the Bears offense being bad. It was the fact that it was the special teams and defense that had to step up. I think it should feel good for Bears fans knowing that the production that this defense had last year, it looks like it's going to be similar, because one of the hardest things to project and carry over year to year on either side of the ball is that turnover margin, and the fact that the Bears were able to force what ended up being 3 total. So yep, it's like, total. I mean, that's that's huge. I mean, if they can have that happen, and especially if the offense can finally get their feet under them over the next few weeks, I mean, it's hard to see how they're not going to be in every single game this year, which is something that you probably couldn't say for the last, I'd say, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Roughly, and that's very disappointing. Moving on to our concussed corner. This is based off something in the game that was so odd, the decision maker must have been concussed. You know, I'm even doing a slight audible on this. What I'm going to do is that crazy play that happened where Caleb Williams threw a slant pass to DJ Moore and the ball was deflected in the air. Robbie Dunes caught the deflected pass and then was hit, fumbled, and then Tevin Jenkins then recovered the ball. Someone got knocked around in the head a little bit there when they were writing the script for the NFL, because that's a little crazy.
Yeah, see, I'm going to go with the play exactly right after that, where Cole Kmet catches that little out route, goes out of bounds, and then they're like, hey, we need to review this. And it's like, what? Like,
what are you looking at?
Yeah, it's like, even in live time, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. I almost kind of wonder if they were trying to review the prior play that you were just talking about, and then they realized, like, oh, wait, another play had, you know, already been run, so they couldn't do it. But that was probably one of the weirdest reviews that I think I've ever seen in a football game, where it's just like, that was obvious from start to finish. He made the catch, he made moves, he didn't lose the ball, he went out of bounds. Like, what is there to review? So that would be my concussed moment of the game, where it's just, that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
I like that one. We hear for moral support. All the puns in this are great. I know everyone loves it. It's hard not to go back to this. It just has to be the O-line for me, especially when you're going to go up against a Texans team where, you know, defensive head coach, they have a solid squad there. They made some key additions this offseason to bolster that defense and specifically the defensive line. So, you know, I mentioned that long sack before. And then Ernest Jones, that was the play I was talking about where Blitz knocked Shelton on his butt. And, like, he was a toddler, leading to Caleb getting blasted. You can't have that. And not just that, but, like, they've called so many screenplays. And I get why they did. They had a hard time protecting, period. But then they also really couldn't block on the screens, too. So regardless, the line, whether it was trying to hold pocket or trying to get out to create some screen lanes, it was a problem. So that has to change this upcoming week, just to at least stick around in this upcoming Texans game.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, because, I mean, again, like you said, when you're looking at the Texans defense, and especially that defensive line, I mean, how are you going to handle Danielle Hunter? How are you going to handle the edge rushers, Will Anderson? I mean, they did a lot, especially on the edge, and that concerns me. The interior, not quite as good, still pretty good. I'm sure you can see all the flies flying around. I'm doing this outside because our house is still a disaster. But, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I think the entire keys of the offense are going to run through the offensive line. And I think that we kind of saw that today where, you know, Caleb Williams may be impressive in multiple different ways and he may be advanced mentally, but he's still a rookie quarterback. And the reality of it is if he's not getting time and if he can't simply run a rollout where he basically, you know, fakes handing off the ball and rolls out on a play action. If he can't even do that without getting blown up, or he can't even throw a screen without the screen getting blown up, like, those are the kind of things where, yes, he was far from perfect. He actually was pretty bad. But at the same time, you have to wonder, if the offensive line plays better and keeps him clean, how much more confidence does he have? How much less frazzled is he? Is he able to make some of the reads that he needs to make downfield? So I'm right there with you. I mean, the offensive line has got to play a heck of a lot better. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You can have as many good skill position guys as you want out on the field. If the offensive line isn't giving your quarterback time, especially a rookie quarterback, there is going to be a lot of issues. And that's kind of the primary concern moving forward. They've got to find a way to fix it, however that may be. I don't know, but they've got to find a way to fix it.
We're going to pop through a very quick break here, and then we're going to wrap up with a couple more categories and get out of here. All right.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're going to move on to what's important. Stat. This is basically just a stat from the game that you are interested in that, you know, led to ultimately the outcome, something of that nature. For me, it was third down. Bears were 2 for 13 on third down, somehow slightly worse than what the Titans were able to do, which was 3 for 14. But you're really not going to win many games if you go 2 for 13. It just kind of reminds me of the weird Bears 49ers game where they won that game because it was a monsoon and they just happened to be able to come out of it. Now, this game obviously didn't have some crazy weather element, but there's enough crazy kind of weird stuff in this game. Titans, bad enough team. And again, I don't think they're an awful team. I think they're going to be a team that gets 6-7 wins. And when you're looking back on this week, you say, actually, that was a solid win that you had against a scrappy team that, you know, is a year or two away from being a year away kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to convert more than 2 for 13. And also, you need to create a lot more third and shorts. The Bears were way in with third and long way too often, especially due to penalties.
Yeah. Well, this is my main one, and this probably looks all weird. My finger is doing weird stuff. The biggest, most important thing out of this game was the fact that they won. I think that's kind of obvious, so I'll go with something a little bit different, and I'll go back to the defensive side of the ball, where, again, forcing those three turnovers, I think in order for this defense to play at a high level, they're going to have to continue to do that because, again, they're not going to have an elite defensive line. They're not going to be getting after the quarterback 24-7. There aren't going to be teams losing sleep over their defensive line. So when guys like Montez Sweat are a little banged up and don't have the sack production, they need to be able to find a way to affect the quarterback, shut down the run, whatever the case may be, and force those turnovers. And the fact that we saw that today, I guess it ended up being – Is the block punt technically a turnover? I think that would be, right?
I believe so.
Okay, so they would have technically have four, but we'll just count the defensive side because they had the fumble and then the two interceptions. But either way, I mean, that to me, that is going to be one of the most important factors to Eberflus's defense, and it has been. I mean, even going back to last year, if you look at it, they still had poor sack production. Like, they've got to be able to turn the ball over. They've got to be able to get off the field on third down, and they've got to be able to be basically the better of the two or three or however you want to look at it units throughout the entire season, at least until the offense gets going.
All right, next we have our kombucha peak performance moments, just a defining moment from the game. Kombucha, it's a premium performance-focused kombucha crafted specifically for athletes and active individuals. This revitalizing beverage blends the traditional benefits of kombucha with nutritional enhancements to support energy, hydration, and recovery. Better athletic performance, increased nutrient absorption, improved wellness, and improved cognitive stamina. As a sponsor for the pod, go ahead and use the code BEARGUTCHECK, 15% off kombucha. It's pretty awesome. I had some today, actually. Anyway, my moment was there was a couple I could have gone with. I ultimately went with the block by Daniel Hardy and the scoop and score by Simone Biles' husband, Jonathan Owens, because that was just a a momentum shift. And without that happening in that way, I don't think we're sitting here with a win.
Yeah. As much as I want to say that the Tyreek Stevenson pick six, I mean, the momentum was already going the Bears' way. Tennessee couldn't move the ball. The Bears were at least getting some points on the board from the offense, even if that was because of, you know, really good field position. Yeah, I mean, it's 100% that has to be the moment, right? I mean, that flipped the entire game. And we've seen that, again, going back to Lovie Smith days, we've seen that a lot where that one type of play, when you're finally starting to gain momentum and then you completely grab momentum, and I know our buddy James Fox would completely disagree with momentum being a thing at all, but it is. I mean, just look at how the game flipped. And I think without that blocked punt, let's just say it's a normal punt, DeAndre Carter, even if he brings it back into Tennessee territory, are they getting a touchdown out of that? I don't think so, at least judging based on what we saw from the offense today.
Valid point. And we have our Masseter player of the game, aka MVP. The masseter, which is located in your jaw, can close the teeth with a force of up to 55 pounds of the incisors and 200 pounds of the molars. So to me, it's a pretty important, super strong muscle. For me, Andrew Billings. He'll be unsung, right? If you look at his stats, ultimately, they're not jumping off the page at you. He had one tackle with an assist, two QB hits, and one tackle for loss. But his presence in the backfield consistently, he, like I said, the tackles that he made forcing Levis out of the pocket, that kept the Bears in it until the rest of the defense was able to figure out what they were doing. So for me, I want to call out Andrew Billings because he dominated and it will be unsung in terms of how people look back at this game.
Oh, Billings was probably, I don't even know if I'd say probably, I think he was the best player on the field for the Bears all day today. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'll go a little bit different. I'll say Daryl Taylor. Again, defensive side of the ball, had the two sacks, the forced fumble, had a few other plays. Again, like, he has some flaws. We know this. Like, he's a former second-round pick. There was a reason he got traded for a sixth-round pick. He's not good against the run. He tends to over-pursue. But he's also got an insanely high motor that just never stops. Even on plays that he overran today, he somehow came back and was still able to make plays or at least affect the pocket. And again, going back to talking about the lack of pass rush, if Montez Sweat isn't factoring in on the box score, you need to have another guy in the field that's able to do that. And I think that Daryl Taylor, at least today, show that he can do that. I think he's already, in the one game, it feels like he already impacted the game more than Yannick Ngakoue did before he went down with a season-ending injury. So that's at least a plus.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. A little disappointing that I don't even know like how many snaps Austin Booker got, but if he got any, definitely wasn't something that piqued my attention. So hopefully that was more of a, they just felt Taylor, it was more of a snap count issue than necessarily a performance issue. Prognosis period. This is our final segment of the show. We're just going to have more of a look ahead. What does this mean for next week? What are we looking for next week? I'll just start talking a little bit about the Keenan Allen injury. Not sure what he has right now. The way he limped off, it could be hamstring, but also it could just be heel. We know that he was dealing with some foot stuff the entire week. The way that he came down too didn't, to me, look like an eccentric load. So that's where I would think more of a potentially soft tissue hamstring issue. The only other reason I lean that way is because he did have in 2022, 2019, some hamstring strains that he was out for a couple games. But he also did have a heel bruise issue back in 2023. And like I said, that's what he's been dealing with over the last week. So more likely than not, just landing harder on that heel, limb and limped off the field there. We'll keep an eye out on what that looks like. And you guys can go ahead, if you're not following me at WestSportsBT, I'll try to highlight and talk about potentially time of return based on what we hear today from Eberflus and then going forward into the week. Aaron, what are you looking at in terms of how this game relates to going into the following week against the game against the Texans?
Well, I think it's got to be the offense, right? I mean, they've got to find some ways to make some adjustments. You pointed out if Keenan Allen doesn't play next week, obviously that changes things. Luckily for them, they've got some depth there. I think Roma Dunze, obviously, and I've said this from the beginning, I think that he's going to be somebody who the first few weeks of the season, there's going to be some people like, why did they decide to draft him number 9 overall? Like, why, if they've got all these other weapons, he's not being a factor. I think he's going to be a huge factor in the second half of the year. But let's just say this is a hamstring thing, or if this does keep Allen out for, 2, 3, 4 weeks, you would know better than me at this point. But if it does, just hypothetically speaking, Roma Dunze all of a sudden steps up. The offensive line really is the big thing to me. They're going to be going against another good defensive front next week. It's going to be in prime time on national television, which we all know what that means. If Caleb Williams plays well, then Caleb Williams is going to be, you know, the next, you know, second coming of Jesus Christ. If he plays bad, he's the second coming of Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields. So I would like to hopefully see them get some things figured out offensively. I think getting Caleb Williams out of the pocket a little bit more, trying to establish a run but not force the run like they did today, and set themselves up in better situations will probably be ideal. But again, they're going to have to play a lot better next week offensively than they did today, or else it's going to be an ugly one.
Yeah, just a brief highlight for people who didn't get to see it. The Texans did beat the Colts today. It was a nail-biter, 29-27. Nico Collins led with 8 targets, 6 receptions, 117 yards. So, you know, Tank Dell had 3 catches. Stephon Diggs had 6 catches. Their offense is really good. When you have C.J. Stroud at quarterback, especially. Now, you know, all that being said, and we talked about the defense is better, not exactly the best in the world. They did let up 27 points, but you can't play like you did today and even hope to be in the same conversation as the Texans. But at the same time, I mean, the Bears played so bad today that it wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden we're looking at Sunday night and we're saying, oh, like, this is actually a game. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, and again, you never want to overreact to week one. I mean, we saw, what was it, 2 years ago? The Packers, I guess maybe 3 years ago, and the Packers got blown out by the Bucks. Or no, it was the Saints. It was when Jameis Winston had that one start, and they got blown out, and everybody's like, oh, wow, Aaron Rodgers might be cooked. You know, the Packers aren't going to do anything. Then next thing you know, the Packers win the division, and they got, I think they won a game or two in the playoffs. So, again, ultimately what this comes down to, you never want to overreact too much to 1 week. But also at the same time, like, you don't want to see the same exact offensive product next week as you did today. So, you know, again, stay optimistic, be happy, but also I think expecting improvements, especially on the offensive side of the ball, is more than reasonable.
All right. Thank you so much, Aaron, for joining me today to talk about this. I know you're going to be on some future ones as well. Where can people find your comments, your thoughts, and the stuff that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me at Aaron Lemming NFL on Twitter or X or whatever you call it. I refuse to call it X. You can also read my stuff on, you know, the Windy City Gridiron, and then also Bear Report as well. So, you know, it's that time of year where I'm going to be doing a lot of writing, and it just seems like it drags and drags and drags. So,
well, at least you're writing about something that's fun, right?
Yes. Thank God. Hopefully it'll stay that way.
All right, everyone. Go ahead. Like I said, go ahead, follow Aaron Lemming. He's awesome. The stuff he does is great. And this is week one. Just be happy there's a win. Bear down.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.